Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up?
What's up, everybody? We good. Let's get this kicked off.
All right. We got some topics that are near and dear to us. Our first topic of the day, man, comes from a friend of the show, man. We're talking about what love means to us individually, man. We've all been through some things where we've obviously been in love and it's worked out, and we've also been in some situations where we've been in love and it hasn't worked out. And so I'm gonna pose this question to you guys, you know, a little deeper topic today. What does love mean to you?
How about you, News?
Yeah, I mean I could start this off. So love is weird, right? It's the situation where I think one of the biggest things for me is that I had to come to the conclusion of whether or not love was a choice or not. Can you choose, or should you choose who you are in love with? Right. I actually battled that because of the fact that, after my wife passed away, I'm like, I'm not going to love anybody that ain't going to fit the certain, you know what I mean, standards that, you know, I quote unquote felt like I needed in my life in order to be a well-functioning individual. And so, for me and my daughter. So it was just a weird type of, you know, balancing act and kind of self-discovery for me, or rediscovery for me, right? I had to actually go back to when I fell in love with my wife and kind of re-examine that. To me, love is like when you're walking down a hall full of doors, right? And when one door opens, all of a sudden, all the other doors close, right? It's not like something like you're like, oh, do I love this person? Do I not? How do I feel? Like, it becomes crystal clear to the point no other pathway even seems reasonable to pursue, right? Whether it be a love for a person, like if I love you, I can't look at what's in the other doors, because to my mind, they're all closed. Or whether it be a love for what it is that you do in life, right? I want to be a nurse. So that pathway is so clear to me. I can't even envision what my life would be like being a construction worker or masonry or any of those things. So it's just this, to me, love is this dying passion to pursue something specific. And I think that's not something you can shut off or choose. It is what it is.
Very nice. Very nice. Nice.
I'll try.
I'll go second on this one. Now, of course, you know, with me, I got to mansplain that shit. You know what I'm saying? just a little bit. You know what I mean? But that's part of my personality. That's who I am. And so, you know, it's a process for me. So I wrote a little bit things down. So for our viewers, you know, that are watching this on YouTube and things like, pay no attention to me reading. All right.
Hurry up. You all right?
Don't rush me, motherfucker.
You ain't got to explain yourself. We know who you is now. You good?
Already. All right. So when talking about love, there is no right or wrong answer. That's why I appreciate your, you know, saying you giving us your take on love, News. And love has many definitions, but I define love as an emotion. And I've said this before, an emotion is energy in motion. It's the energy you place or the effort that you exert to bring happiness to a partner, and the energy you exert to bring happiness to yourself. Love is kind. Love is selfless. Love is enduring. Love is beautiful. And for the lack of a better term, you can call me a hopeless romantic. I love the idea of being in love. I love love for the people around me, love for life, love for the plants. I just there's an abundance of love when it comes to me and how I see love. I view love as the energy that flows and as an energy that is unconditional. I express my love for others in this manner. You take care of things that you love, right? Mm-hmm. So it's fair to say that, you know what I'm saying? If you don't take care of something, it's obviously that you probably don't love it enough, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
Or don't know how to receive love, because some who don't know how to receive love are shit on love, too.
That's true.
Exactly. That's true. So, and this also means that it's important to love yourself, right? Hmm. So if you don't take care if you don't take care of yourself, then, you know what I'm saying, how can you really say you love yourself? You know, if you don't know or can't love yourself properly, how can you love someone else, you know?
So see, this is an interesting take, right? Because you, like, we're talking about love, and you're talking about, and you bring up self-love that's probably neglected in a ton of people nowadays, right? This idea of just not feeling yourself, no homo, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yes, like, you know what I mean? We talk about loving this person, loving that person, loving our children and loving all these things. But how often do we talk about, hey, I love myself? Mm-hmm. And like, I wanted to, you know what I'm saying, kind of bring that to the forefront. And so that also got me to thinking about, so when giving love to your partner, it's almost always comes from, it must always come from a place of overflow. So think about it like this. If you're doing all the things to love yourself on a consistent basis, your cup will fill up and begin to overflow. And then someone comes into your life, which you plan to share your love with. You don't stop loving yourself in order to fill somebody else's cup. What you do is you allow the overflow of love that you have for yourself to fill their cup. When doing so, this way, Your cup is never empty, and you're always pouring into your spouse's cup.
That's deep. That's really deep.
That's the way I look at love.
I like that though. Yeah, you definitely did your research on this one, man. That was dope. I like it. No so doubt. What about you, Duke?
Love is simple. Love is a feeling of whole, of being whole, of kind of like you said, filling your cup per se. When you love something, when you're away from it, you don't quite feel whole until you're around those things that make you feel whole, whether that be your spouse, your boys, your children. It could be a damn video game. And love is, you know, subjective. So you can love anything. It doesn't have to be a person. Yes, some people may look at it like, well, I love money. Okay, well, get that money. Love that money. You know what I'm saying?
There's no right or wrong answer.
Correct. Yeah, that's just up to you. Whatever makes you feel whole and makes you feel like when you're around this person, place, or thing that you just feel a different kind of way, that's love to you. And kind of like Melman said, there's no right or wrong answer. So whatever makes you feel that way, by all means, love it. Now, don't love being an asshole, though. Don't love doing that.
Yeah, that's probably not the best love you could do, yeah.
So your version of love would be feeling whole, having a wholeness to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you said, it kind of goes on the same lines of what you're saying. Self-love, mm-hmm. right? Filling your cup and being whole are kind of like the same thing, just different ways to see and
just like an example, Melman and I are in the same situation where we share custody of our children. I know I don't feel whole until I have my kids right there with me, and I'm sure you feel the same way. So that's how that's how I equate it. Like, you know, I miss them every time they leave, or you know what I'm saying. So, but as soon as I see them again, boom, I feel whole again. The world seems right again. You know what I'm saying.
I swear to God, I just said this to my daughter. I was like, when you come now, it feels like you're at home. Like mm-hmm. not when you're at your mom's, I know, you know what I'm saying, that's your home as well. But mm-hmm. Do you feel that too? And she was like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm at home until I'm here with you.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's how I feel.
I talked about this and going to you, Mailman. And I talked about this a while ago in one of our episodes. when I was talking about a patient of ours. And to our listeners, I'll just re-explain the story. We had a patient in my hospital that was going through dementia, and he could not kind of correlate where he was. And, you know, he was dealing with, you know, aggression and frustration about the confusion of everything changing from going from hospital to hospital to now rehab hospital. And so his wife comes in and she visits him. And every time she comes in, he's completely calm. He's completely cool and collected, sweetest guy in the world. And I remember one of the nurses had walked by one of the rooms with me, and we had looked in there. The wife staring outside the window, looking at the birds chirping and the flowers. And she's just staring and just enjoying the sunlight. And he's standing and sitting right next to her. And she says, "Don't you want to look out the window?" And he's like, "No, I just want to look at you." And it was then I realized that your home doesn't have to be necessarily a place. It can be a person. And that is the most beautiful thing about being whole and being in love, is that your home then becomes a person. It's not about where you're at per se, or, you know, where you live at. It's about that person being there. And
to your home is where your heart is.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to say the same thing.
That's exactly what that phrase means. Home is where your heart is. Yep. And that's where his heart is at. It's with his lady.
Yeah. It was beautiful, man. It was like, you know, the nurse was like, "Oh my gosh, I wish I could do that with my husband." And I was like, "Stop, I ain't a bitch, but you know, my eyes are a little bit watery. Shut up. Let's just talk about something else." You know what I'm saying? So man, it was beautiful. But thanks for that topic. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Not too long ago, we had the lovely Bahia Shabazz on one of our episodes to talk to us about Brown Girls Do Invest. Brown Girls Do Invest is a nonprofit organization established to educate women to invest in stocks, real estate, and to acquire multiple lines of income while encouraging women to invest and build a diverse financial portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest develops money management skills and positive behavior in middle school and high school children, as well as the working class woman, to improve opportunities to build that diverse portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest offers a year-round education, community-based programs, educational meetings, financial literacy programs, and even a mentorship program. Definitely check out browngirlsdoinvest.com and also on their Twitter and Facebook at Brown Girls Do Invest for more information. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the episode. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're into our second topic today, and we're just going to kind of keep it flowing, man, when we're talking about love. I mean, obviously, you know, Valentine's Day wasn't too far away. And so let's go ahead and keep it going. We're talking about love languages and our specifically our partner's love languages. I don't know if anybody's read the book, the five, what's the book called?
It's right here, the five love languages.
I forgot. I don't know why I drew a blank right there. The five love languages. I've read the five love languages. I swear I've read it. Okay.
I got the book with me right
thank,
now.
Thank you, man.
Like, here it is.
I got the audible version of it. I ain't read it, but I'll listen to it.
I listened to it and then I read it.
I like
as
the
well.
Audible version. Yeah, I comprehend it better that way with the Audible version.
I recommend everybody who's listening to this podcast to get a copy of the book. We're going to put a link on our social media pages for the book. That way you can go ahead and get to it and order the book online. But man, let's talk about it, man. Our partner's love languages. What did you guys got going on with this? Mailman, you got the book, so you might as well start it off, player.
I got this. All right. So check this out. First off, let me start out by saying that this is probably the first time I actually read the book, but it's not the first time that I heard about it. Mm-hmm. I was with another young lady, older lady, in a previous relationship, and she read the book and she was telling me about it and giving me little cliff notes on it. And at that time, I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit about that fucking book about your love language. You are insufferable, bitch. I don't plan on being with you much.
Damn.
You know, so I didn't pay attention to it. You know what I mean? Like, I heard what she said, but I was like, yeah, this shit, I knew this shit ain't going far. But it was right now, though, with the lady that I'm dealing with, the woman that I'm with now, she also had the book, and that's how I ended up with the copy of it. She brought it to me because I told her that we were going to potentially be talking about this topic. And she said, well, I have the book. Why don't we go through it together? You know what I mean? And first we listened to the audio book of it. And then when she left or whatnot, I wanted to continue. So I took the actual hard copy and read it myself. And fascinating book. Fascinating book. Very interesting to hear an audio book too, with the guy with the southern accent and shit. And when I'm listening to it, I'm like, this motherfucker is definitely from like Tennessee or some shit. He sounds just like he damn self. But anyway, I digress. We're talking about our partner's love languages, right? And so a cool thing about this, going through it with my girlfriend, was I got a chance to actually see and talk to her about what her love language was. And instead of trying to guess or figure out, you know what I'm saying, what her love language was, she was right there to fucking sitting right by me and telling me, hey, look. And when I started reading this book, I noticed that, you know, he said the word primary love language a lot.
Yes.
And you can have multiple. Yes. And and he used the phrase bilingual. So, you know, and so when you read the book and you're thinking, you know what I'm saying, don't get stuck on just thinking that you have one love language, because you could have multiple love languages. That just means you're bilingual. And that's not a bad thing either, because what it does is gives your partner multiple ways to show you their love for you. I think it's cool as fuck.
Now, to our listeners who haven't read the book, the five love languages are words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. I know.
I was getting it, motherfucker.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort.
Yeah. Share the love.
Y'all together.
Share the love, mailman.
It's no I in team, mailman.
Right.
Yeah, mailman, though.
Mailman's still thinking of his ex. He a little bit upset still.
No, I ain't. I'm not mad at her anymore. I don't hold any grudges towards her anymore. Good. Like, you know what I mean? Nothing but love for her. I wish her the best, but just not with me.
Good.
All right. But so as News just said, there are five different love languages, and the love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. So my girlfriend's love language is quality time. And like, I knew this, but I didn't know it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't profound to me until after I read this book. And like, I was kind of doing some of the things already to show her that, but I have to be honest with you guys and tell you that a lot of times I saw her need for quality time as being that needy.
Because
I didn't understand it. I was like, god damn, why is she fucking always up under me? She ain't even fucking talking about nothing. She just, you know what I mean? And I didn't recognize it, and that her love language was quality time. And so I kind of started thinking after reading the book, like, what does the quality time really actually mean? And it's like undivided attention, doing something with her that she's enjoys, makes time for her, things like make a to-do list, and once a week, you know, do one of those things on that list with your partner. And then also with quality time, because it's more than just being in the same room with a person. That's not quality time. Quality time is, like I said, undivided attention and also focused attention, which means it's not enough to just be in the same room with them. You need to actively focus on what it is that they're saying, having quality conversations. Like we said in one of our previous episodes about listening for understanding, not just a rebuttal and things like that. All those go into play with quality time. It said, just listen and not to give advice unless it's asked out of you. Like, if they ask you for your advice, then you give it. But if not, sometimes they don't want your advice. They don't want you to fix the problem. They just want you to listen. And that also ties into the quality time. And so I was like, this is really freaking good. And I've actually started, you know, saying, being more conscious about the time that I spend with her. But I like I said, I already been kind of doing this with date night every Thursday night. Like that's that allotted time that I set aside for me and my girlfriend to spend time with, and she gets my undivided attention. No children, no video games, no TV, unless she, that's something that she wants to do. If she wants to watch a movie or something like that. But I dedicate that that day to spending time with her doing whatever it is that she wants to do. And yeah, don't man. Get me wrong, just because if your love language is quality time doesn't mean you get to monopolize a person's time 100%. You know what I mean? You also have to be aware that their time is important to them as well. And so, you know, limit the amount of time to, let's say, 2 hours. You know what I mean? If, you know, or start out small with, you know, an hour, you know, and that. And
you get
that
5 minutes. You get a 5 minute break. That's it.
And I'm counting right now. Let me set a timer for 5 minutes.
Speak, bitch. Whatever you got. Don't be doing that shit. Don't be doing that shit. But regulate that time, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let them know that, hey, my time is also important to me. And where I want to speak to you in your love language, which is quality time, I also need time for myself as well. But that's another point in the book too that I kind of want to break up before I let you guys, you know what I'm saying, take the show. There's a chapter in there called Keeping the Love Tank Full.
Yeah, we've talked about that one.
Yep,
that one is another good chapter. And it was a short read, short chapter to read, but it talks about, you know what I'm saying, filling the person's love tank. Kind of goes back to what I said in the beginning about filling somebody's cup. You know what I mean? It's the same thing as filling somebody's love tank, you know. But to our listeners, read the book, you know what I'm saying, and you'll get a better understanding. I promise you, you'll come out on top. You'll be a better person for it.
Yeah, I mean, the theme on pretty much everything that we've talked about that deals with success and being a better person, it all starts with you. That's what everything has in common. No matter what topic we've talked about, when it comes to some sort of growth, some sort of succession plan in life, you know, things of that nature, everything starts with you. Making sure, like Cat Williams said, making sure your star player is taken care of. Because you can't do all these other things unless you're taking care of yourself first. So, yes, self-love is definitely number one on the list on anything if you're going to be successful in any part of life. So I agree with that 100%. Yeah. As far as the question wise, my lady does have two love languages. Well, she's got more than that, but two main ones. Her main one is touch, and then her second one is quality time, which in some ways those do go together because quality time can turn into touch and so on and so forth. You know, so like she literally sometimes will just be sitting there and she just has to touch me. And she tells me every time, that's how I calm myself down. That's how I can breathe. If she has a bad day or whatever the case may be. And it could be a simple touch, like to my arm or something like that. And when she first started that, I was like, the fuck? Like, what is that? You know?
Yo, keep going. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about this. Okay?
I was like, that's a little weird. I'm not sure how to accept that. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't know. I didn't understand it. So reading the book and finding out more about that and understanding and just talking to her and going back to another phrase, listening to understand when because I didn't understand it. I asked her about it. I'm like, well, what's up with that? Like, what's the reason? You know, and I'm not going to tell her business, so I'm not going to go through the whole conversation. But when I listened to it and listened to everything, even though I came into it not understanding it, I was able to understand it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge touch person. I do, obviously, I don't mind it and stuff of that nature, but I'm not a real cuddly, touchy-feely type of person. So for me, it was a little bit of an adjustment, but because I listened and understood where she came from, we were able to move forward with it and be able to, and now it's like an important part of our lives, you know, because...
We couldn't tell that you weren't a love it, touch it, don't touch me, motherfucker. Like,
really? We couldn't tell that at all. I didn't know at all.
You did?
So, I thought, man, you know, dude be hugging and loving and.
Body posture is a real thing, nigga.
Fuck all that. How many times you told us to hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker?
That's what I mean. So to my defense, hitting a motherfucker with a motherfucker technically is touching a motherfucker. I'm just saying. Technically, it is. So, so you know, but for real, like on a real, that's you know, we do kind of the same thing. Like our thing is like we like to go to the movies, so we go to the movies a lot. Or just the other night, she texted me while she was at work. Hey, can we watch a scary movie tonight? Bet, let's do it. Let's figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So it's little things. It ain't got to be spending a lot of money. Kind of like Mailman said, it ain't got to be going out spending money and stuff like that. It could be anything. You know, it's become an integral part of our lives and stuff like that. So it's important to know each other's love language too. You know, because like we kind of said before, you got to know how the other person is going to receive things as well. So you can get, so again, you guys can come to the conclusion equally and both be on board with it so things can move smoother.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's awesome. Like, I think, so this is why I wanted to talk about it, right? Because my lady's love language is also a physical touch. And I didn't understand this, like, at all. Like, this, yo, like, so as y'all know, Daily News has school. Daily News is a single father. Daily News has a podcast. He has this, you know, all this shit going on. And she'd be like, hey, can we hang out? I'm like, oh, cool, bet. What do you want to do? She's like, can we just cuddle? It's 10 o'clock in the afternoon. You want to cut this shit to do, right?
First off, 10 o'clock is not the afternoon, Negro. That's still the morning.
That's still morning. Like, so. Yeah. And so it was just like, it would.
My
it would,
fucking God.
No, it would bug the hell out of me. I'm like, yo, I got.
Well, yeah, you stuff got the time do. Wrong. You think it's the afternoon. It's still morning.
That's probably where I fucked up.
That's part of it right now. You welcome. I can help you out.
Okay. Shit together.
Hold up. Let me adjust my clock. But so and it was one of those things that really like kind of confused me because when doing the test, you realize that what your love language is as well. And one of my least ones is physical touch. And so it didn't bother me that we weren't like touching and things like that. And then afterwards she started like we would have conversations and she would point out little things to me that I would do that to me it's like that shouldn't matter at all, but it mattered a lot to her. Little things like, you know, when you're driving a car and you put your hand on their lap or you know what I mean, putting your arm around their shoulder, little things that like I or holding your hand when you're walking, little things that like I didn't even like pay serious attention to that meant the world to her. And it was like one of those things was like, dude, you fucking up. And so, but I was like, I'm man enough to admit that I'd be fucking up. And so it's honestly something that I still struggle with. And so it's a work in progress, you know what I mean? I think it's a balance. And you have to fill your partner's love language and can't get too caught up in the fact that whether or not yours is, because then you only focus on yourself. You see what I mean? Like, yeah, focus on you healing you and you building you up, but don't focus on you gotta meet my love language. You gotta do this. You gotta do that, right? It's always gotta be, let me help them. Let me do what it is that I'm supposed to do in helping myself and helping them, you know, with their love language. And so it's a process. It really is. And so
hey, I'm just curious right quick, you know what I'm saying? What are y'all love languages, fellas?
Oh. Good.
Don't look away, motherfucker.
I have a question. I know, like I was waiting for you to
say something. Yeah, I'm like, I know I gotta put you on the spot, but I wanna know.
So mine's is words of affirmation. Yeah. And
what about you, mailman?
Same words of affirmation.
Yeah.
What about you?
Mine's God damn it. What were the five again? I forgot them again.
Words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, quality time, and gifts.
Gifts.
Yeah, it's just quality time for me.
Yeah. Quality time.
Yeah. Because I don't really care about words of affirmation, honestly. I don't care about, like, I you guys know me. I pump myself up. I have, you know, I don't need people to tell me. And I'm not saying that it's a knock on anybody or anything like that. That's just me. That's just how I was raised. I think that's just a Jersey thing to where, you know what I'm saying, we just like, yeah, okay, you know.
Yeah. And so, can we say something right quick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, So I thought the same thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fucking words of affirmation, that shit shouldn't mean shit to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then when I read the book, it opened my eyes to something mm-hmm. else. It was about how people talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's also, you know what I'm saying, can be counted in your love language. And it says something like, you know, if a person is putting you down all the time and speaking negatively to you, towards you, and never has anything good to say to you, and you in a relationship with them, you know what I'm saying? You're not gonna, you know what I'm saying, no matter how much physically attractive you are to this person, you're not even gonna want to have sex with them because, you know, of the way they speaking to you and how they talking to you. And this was all covered in that words of affirmation thing. And that's why I was like, yeah, how a person talks to me, how a woman talks to me, and how, you know what I'm saying, the level of respect she has for me when she talks to me is so important to me. Like, you don't have to be praising me and putting me up on the pedestal and speaking all of these sweet words to me, but damn it, you damn sure can't be fucking talking to me like I'm, you know what I'm saying, a piece of shit or less than a man either, because I ain't going for that shit either.
Mailman,
so that's like the other side. That's the mm-hmm. other side of those words of affirmations.
So it's interesting because that's exactly how I am. I don't need the whole, oh man, you doing a good job. I just don't need the you ain't shit conversations. You see what I mean? And there's yep. so many times where, like, it, and a lot of it's just like, you don't even realize you're saying it. You know what I mean? Like, constantly critiquing, how some guys call it nagging over and over again about things like that. It'll be like, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing a third. Well, you obviously ain't focusing on what I'm doing. And so now it always makes me feel like I'm less than what I am. So therefore, you are now, it's almost like not necessarily filling your cup, it's like siphoning that bitch out. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, nah, let me poke a hole through the bottom of that cup and let it drain, let that bitch drain out like an oil tank. So
well, right? I hear y'all. I certainly hear y'all, but yeah. y'all know me too. I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you think, person. You know what right? I'm saying? So we'll I'm gifted that way. I'm glad that I was raised that way because I can not allow shit like that to bother me.
And you another know what I'm thing, saying? So another thing too is because when you raise broke, you don't get shit. So gifts necessarily didn't really matter to me. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. like it me like. You know what I mean? I'm the motherfucker that's like, yo, Daily News, what you want for Christmas? Socks. And I'm good. So,
hey, hold up. That's what I was going to say was that, you know, there is a such thing as being in love languages as being bilingual, right? So mm-hmm. having multiple love languages. So, you know, like, I think my primary would probably be words of affirmation. And then next would probably be physical touch. But then, like, way down the line is probably receiving gifts. And I say receiving gifts because, you know, to me, gifts are a physical representation of someone's love for you. Meaning, like, I can go back and pick up that thing that they gave me and, you know what I'm saying, and think about, oh, man, they love me enough, you know what I'm saying, to get me this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And with gifts, it doesn't have to be something expensive or extravagant, you know what I mean? Like, remember being a kid, and I think it said something like this in the book, when you would go pick a flower out in the yard and then go and take it to your mom. And you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
And how she's like, the greatest flower in the world.
In the world. Yes. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And you know, those, it's not the actual gift. It's more the intention behind the gift. And so I'm like, I can see that as being another one of my love languages too, because I like receiving gifts and I like giving gifts. Because for me, with giving gifts, it's like, you know what I'm saying, I took the time to think about this person and, you know what I'm saying, on different levels, on what they might need or what might make them happy or what could they use, you know what I'm saying? So, don't knock any other love languages and you never know, you know what I'm saying? You might have a little bit of that language in you too, be a little bit bilingual.
Right. And I think that's so important. I remember my mother going being like, or having a, hey, grandma, I got you these flowers. You know, my grandma, you know, gotta give her flowers. And then she had to go to church on Sunday and apologize to Mother Edith about how I stole flowers from her front yard. And then
she took that flower, but she was damn sure like,
why'd
you pull that out of that?
She's like, I appreciate you, baby. I'm gonna go put it in the window so I'm trying to turn it. Well, yo, real shit. My grandmother used to actually do that shit. She used to steal flowers When she go on these long ass walks, when people she ain't know, I think she only did the white people because she was like the ignorant white people in the neighborhood. But that's just my like, you know, hypothesis. Like that's like, ha, there go, that's from slavery. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's her form of reparations.
Oh my God. I thought you were finna say something totally fucking different because, like, you know, like, cause my girl does that too. She'll see flowers that she like and she'll pick one of them off, but then she'll come back and put it in a jar of water and, you know what I'm saying, and see if it'll sprout new branches and sprout roots and stuff like that too. I got a couple of them in my window right now.
My grandmother,
she done pulled off.
Yeah, my grandmother would always do that. She would always
start new ones.
She'd be walking like to like the store and be like, "Oh, there go Mother Edith's flowers. They're so sweet. Oh, there go Jeanette's flowers. They so beautiful. There go Amy's flowers. Let me go ahead and take one of these bad boys." Like, what's wrong with Amy? I ain't pick it up until I was like in my teenage years. I'm like, Grandma was a mean motherfucker, boy.
I like that shit though, because now I'm gonna have some different plants in my house that I didn't have to go buy and plant and all that kind of shit. She just snatched them up, you know what I'm saying, and pulled them out. So it's fucking sweet though. But one other thing I wanted to touch on real quick, so while we talking about love language, I'm gonna try to make this as short as possible. But I want to talk about the love language of touch, the physical touch love language.
Okay, so first to our listeners, blowjobs do not count as physical touch or acts of service.
Yeah, it does. Yes, it fucking most certainly do.
I know they do. Listen. Every listener that was listening right now, they was like, everybody in unison was just like, they don't.
Yeah, don't be doing that shit, motherfucker. No, you creating problems. You creating problems, goddamn it. But no, when I first read the book, I was thinking that, you know what I'm saying, my love language was going to be physical touch, right? You know, a lot of people think that men, we just want to have sex and that's all we think about is sex. And, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that too. I'm like, oh, I bet you these motherfuckers, my boy's going to be like, you know what I'm saying? Physical touch. I'm trying to lay that hammer. You know what I'm saying? But when you read the book, you realize that, you know what I'm saying? Physical touch is not, you know what I'm saying, necessarily your love language, because it's a difference between, you know what I'm saying, wanting to have sex and be intimate with your partner, but physical touch comes from just like Duke was saying, when she just put her hand on your leg, you know, while y'all watching a movie, or, you know, just come and brush up behind you while you're in the kitchen cooking a dinner, if you do that, you know what I'm saying? But like, I really thought my love language was going to be physical touch. But I realized that because of the previous relationship that I was in and the lack of intimacy and in the bedroom a lot of the times, you know, made me feel like I wasn't getting that physical touch, you know what I'm saying? So thinking that because I wasn't receiving sex on the basis that I thought I should have been, that was my love language. But turns out, no, it wasn't my love language at all. You know what I mean? I mean, physical touch is important. It may be one of my secondary or my third love language or something like that, but it's not, you know, as high on the board as I thought it would be. And that's the truth for a lot of men, because if you take sex out of the equation and then just physical touch, if you don't like your woman just touching you for no damn reason, then your love language probably is not physical touch. It's probably something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I also,
you just like sex.
Right? For real. And so the other thing that I wanted to say before we get off this topic of love language is if you don't know what your partner's love language is, whatever she nagging your ass about, that's probably what it is. Hey, hear me out. Think about this. You know what I'm saying? Let's say your girlfriend's love language is quality time. Oh, when she start nagging you, it's usually probably going to sound like this. Well, you don't never spend time with me. You're always at work. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. You know what I'm saying? And that's really her telling you or speaking to you what her love language is, and she's asking you for it. Don't look at it as, oh, here she go again, nagging me again. Look at it as, oh, shit, this is her love language, and I need to be, you know what I'm saying, speaking to her in her love language in order to make our relationship better, if you care about that. Or the op saying it was, well, I asked you to do the dishes. I asked you to take out the trash. I asked you to wash the freaking car. What, she nagging you about that because that's her love language. You know what I'm saying? She acts a service.
Yeah. She, and this is
do more and, for, and you're here less busy.
And this is actually something that happens to a lot of women after they have kids and they, or they have big families, and their husband's like, they like, hey, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? That honey-do list we've talked about before. It's the idea of the acts of service. And a lot of women don't feel confident enough to ask you to do things. They just want you to miraculously do them. And so you got to kind of figure that, you know, kind of play the balancing game with that one. So,
hey, that acts of service fucking love language is a hard one, though. I ain't gonna lie, because that one requires time, planning, effort, and energy.
Now, you know what I'm saying? What he say? You want to do acts of service? We all like the same thing. Blow job size, yo mouth. That's ain't that hard. It ain't that hard.
Oh my God. No, don't listen to fucking news. Yeah, David. Acts of service, you know what I'm saying? It's more than just
every man just stop listening to this episode right now when you said that.
But you know what I'm saying? We talking about, you know what I'm saying, identifying what your partner's love language is. And if you're having trouble identifying what your partner's love language is, then listen to what she's nagging and bitching at you about. That'll tell you right there.
Right. So now, in all seriousness, like I said, this is it's a very important topic. Again, if you want to check out the book, it'll be on our social media page on Facebook, Twitter. We'll post it on Instagram. And TikTok, wherever, link will be in there. Click on the link and then download or buy the video. It'll just be a link to Amazon, so that way y'all don't have to search for it and shit like that. So yeah,
the audio book.
Yeah, no, the book. Yeah, the book. Because I think
I'm saying there's also audio book too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, we're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Greenlight card. Yeah.
Hold on, I wrote a commercial. You want to hear? Here you go. Green light, because I use it and they paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching! Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's commercial. All right, back to the show.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third topic of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Me. Let's get it. Ratchet motherfuckers.
That last part.
Motherfuckers. That's my Espanol. That's for my Espanol. That's for them. That's for them.
He said his
word
Espanol brothers.
I know, right? Oh my god.
That's for them. That
he was all like creepy with it and shit too.
Oh man,
just a little bit creepy.
Just a little bit. Until one of his Latinx brothers gonna be like, "Hey, Poppy, we thought it was okay, man. We thought it was okay." All right, man, let's get into it. Ratchet news of the day. Flight attendant hits an unruly passenger with a coffee pot and stops him from opening the plane doors. Let's get into it.
Damn right. That motherfucker deserved it, I bet you.
The man was allegedly creating disturbance and trying to walk into the crock pot.
The crock pot.
Cockpit.
Yeah, damn. I swear to God, man.
Like, hey, man, I just got off work.
What did I tell you, man?
And I ain't even drinking either.
Beforehand, like 10 times. That way you know you got it in your mind. So when you start reading, you don't even really have to read it. You know what I'm saying? Because you already read it so much, you know what it's going to say.
Let me get this straight. You want me to reread an article 4-5 times for this podcast just to read the podcast?
Yeah, that way you ain't just stumbling all over through the motherfucker when you get ready to read it.
I think he's trying to save you from some embarrassment. I think that's what that is.
Thank you.
That sounds like good advice to me personally.
Thank you. Thank you. Shit. He think I'm hating on him or something, but I'm actually trying to help his ass.
All right. Well, I appreciate your advice. I will consider it.
This motherfucker does not believe in proofreading, I see.
Got it. Nope. Nope. All right, let's go.
Hey, metabolism.
Yep. An American Airlines. What do you say? I don't even try to pronounce that shit again. I was like, what the hell is that?
Metabolism.
You call it metabolism. Oh, fuck.
That was an inside joke.
Okay. Metabolism. Anyway. Let's get into it. An American Airlines plane was diverted to Kansas City, Missouri, when an unruly passenger tried to force open the door before he was subdued by a coffee pot across the head, a punch to the jaw, and zip ties and duct tape, according to federal affidavit released Monday. The incident happened Sunday afternoons on an air flight, which was traveling from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. The plane landed safely in Kansas City International Airport, and the suspect, 50-year-old Juan...
Ooh. He's too old to be acting like that.
No shit.
Juan Roberto Reared. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can't even pronounce... I don't know why he would put his middle name in this. It's like, remember, cross with Roberto.
You really think he put his middle name in?
His mama, Roberto Rivas.
What?
Yeah, Rivas.
Lord have mercy.
Rivas was charged Monday with one account.
Wait, what's his name? Wait, hold on.
Say his name one more time.
Juan Roberto Rivas.
Oh, all right. Jur. We're going to call him Jur. Jur. Jur.
Jur.
Yes,
just Juan.
He ain't Junior.
Rivas was charged Monday on one.
Or is he Junior?
Is his first name Juan?
Juan.
Yes. Juanito.
Just call that motherfucker Juan.
Juan was charged Monday with one count of interference with a flight attendant. And detention hearing is pending, but has yet been scheduled. U.S. Attorney Office in Kansas said the news release, it wasn't immediately clear if Rivas had an attorney. So, long story short, this man was trying to break into the crock pot or the crock pot again.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Cockpit.
You hungry?
I think he is hungry. He's talking about crock pots and shit.
Yeah.
You hungry?
Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, Rivas, man.
His ass got taught a life lesson. That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, yeah, I don't know what was going on with him. He's 6'3", 240
pounds. I'll tell you what's going on. The bitch smacked him with the goddamn coffee pot because he was saying some shit and doing some shit he wasn't supposed to be doing. That's what happened.
What did he actually say to him?
Well, he was trying to break into the cockpit.
Yeah.
For some weird ass reason. Motherfuckers don't play that shit, especially not after 9/11. You crazy? Yep.
He grabbed plastic silverware like a shank and threatened, said he grabbed a small champagne bottle by the neck and tried to break it over the counter before kicking and shoving the service cart into one of the flight attendants.
He actually lucky that's all that happened because it should have been a marshal on that flight that could have shot his ass.
One of the passengers was a police officer that was an off-duty cop. Okay. And they said the cop grabbed him when another person who had was not a cop or a marshal punched him in the face and the jaw, and the third one grabbed him by the neck and drug him to the floor. And that is when the flight attendant grabbed a coffee pot.
Wait, she hit him after all that?
That
means he was fucking with her earlier. She was like, all right, I got something for you.
It was the cart.
Juanito.
He was pushing the cart that the flight attendants have, and he grabbed the plastic fork and was going to use it as a shank. Look, man.
Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
Lord.
Really?
Juan was drunk.
Look, after
yeah, that, how many of them little bitty bottles of motherfucking whiskey did he have?
He had to have several. Juan was a little tipsy.
I think Juan was on some other shit.
Clearly, the motherfucker thought a plastic fork was going to be good enough to shank somebody with.
Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to do something, trying to commit suicide. I don't know, like shit.
Maybe.
You want to commit suicide? Do that shit on your own time. Don't be waiting when we reach 20,000 miles up, like 10 miles up in the air. Shit.
Hey, man, the clock.
You want to commit suicide? Hold on.
Hold on. 10 miles up in the air. Do you know how high 10 miles is?
No.
That ain't that high. It was way higher than 10 miles.
I was about to say, these motherfuckers are hitting trees at some elevations at 10 miles.
Look, if he's 60,000 meters or whatever above ground, feet, whatever, and we all flying and you like, hey, man, you know what? Now's a good time to commit suicide. I don't condone suicide. I think that's horrible. But if you're going to do that shit, do it on the ground in your own fucking house. Don't be doing that shit when I got places to be. I'm just saying. Like,
man, shit. That reminds me of that joke once when a motherfucker was like, somebody was like, man, if it's your time to go, it's just your time to go. Well, what if it's the motherfuckers next to me's time to go? I don't want to go because it's his time to motherfucker go. Let that motherfucker go on his own, goddammit.
Exactly.
And that was a Boondocks episode.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. I'm like, hell yeah. Fuck that shit. This motherfucker's crazy. Shout out to old girl that popped his ass with that coffee pot, though. After that motherfucker got his jaw rearranged.
Yo.
She was trying to make sure so he put his ass down for the count, goddamn. Yep. She was not fucking around.
You ever see that Jamie Foxx stand up? Where he'd be like huffing. And he'd be like, ho. You ain't got you don't know who you fucking with. And then he gets back and he's like, I'm in the seat, seeing that he on the ground, wondering what the fuck is happening. Y'all ain't never seen this shit?
No.
I just don't remember it.
You want to put a clip on there? Because this is what I'm talking about. This is why I don't think he has something else with him, you know what I'm saying, on that flight, because like the security check to get on a fucking flight is fucking ridiculous all its own, you know what I'm saying? But it also reminds me of that Bill Bellamy skit, Flops. If y'all haven't seen that shit, it's fucking hilarious, you know what I'm saying? He's like, I think Flops might be the best motherfucking shoe ever created, you know what I'm saying? Especially for going on a plane, because you just slide in the bitches and slide off, because you know how they make you take your shoes off and put them on the
put them on a conveyor, yeah.
Yeah, watch that shit. Watch that fucking Bill Bellamy Flops. Fucking hilarious.
Okay, I'm going to check that shit out. But yeah, man. To the flight attendant, you need more money. You need a raise. Fuck all that. And get it in. You've earned it. What the hell was he thinking?
What was he going in the cockpit for? Did they even say what like his reasoning behind doing all this shit?
Nah, he in a detention center. Yeah, you can't do that. God forbid that shit happen over like while they're flying to like Mexico or some shit. That's an international incident. That's federal shit.
Yep.
Damn. Motherfuckers is crazy.
Pretty much.
Motherfucking Jim Beam.
Stay off the tequila. It's wine. Stay off the tequila.
For real. As he takes a sip.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm right. And I ain't going to disclose what's in my cup. But it ain't just soda. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no shit. It's sugar water.
Congratulations to everybody who helped out. So do that, man, from losing his damn mind. And best of luck to all the passengers that survived that incident, because I know that shit has to be scary. And so kudos.
No doubt. Yeah, I bet that shit was terrifying. Thinking, oh, we got a motherfucker finna hijack the plane and shit and fucking kill us all. I would have took no chances either. I would just start grabbing his, holding his ass and punching him too, goddamn it.
Yeah,
fuck the bullshit.
Yeah, and you know that counts as physical touch when you're talking about love languages. So you just you show a motherfucker some love, bitch.
Damn, sure did.
So On that note, man, y'all got anything to say?
Oh, you stupid.
I'm just saying.
That is some physical touch for a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Put your hands on.
Y'all got anything?
Oh, man. I'm good. The five love languages. Just check out our social media pages. We'll post them all up there. Our links to the book. And so it's not our book, but yeah, definitely check it out. Check it out. It's a good read. And so
I just want to reiterate this, that, you know, when we talking about love and how, you know what I'm saying, you view love, there's no wrong, right or wrong answer to how you view love, because love is an expression and only you can tell yourself how to express that love. But also be aware of how your partner chooses to receive love, and make sure you're speaking to them in their love language.
I just want to remind people to, whenever a motherfucker gets a little bit out of their character, don't be afraid to grab a motherfucker and hit a motherfucker with another motherfucker. Motherfuckers.
Some physical touch.
There you go.
Yep. Or coffee pot.
Coffee pot. That works too. That works.
Yeah, or crock pot, because I was hungry as my ass. To my fellas, Mailman and Duke, listen, I love you guys.
So, love you guys too.
All right. And I wish you guys nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, you guys keep dreaming. Take care.